Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, don't forget to download the radio.com app and search 95.7 The Game. Add it to your favorites, so don't miss a second. Whether you're at home, in your car, or at work, you can use the rewind feature to catch any moments you missed from the last 24 hours, including the one and only Pete Rose, who just joined us moments ago. You could also tell your smart speaker, hey, Alexa, or hey, Google, play 95.7 The Game. And fellas, first of all, it sounds like Pete Rose doesn't regret that collision he had with Ray Fosse back in 1970 at the Major League Baseball All-Star Game.
Well, I can't stress enough how different that game was back in the mid-70s and early 80s. It was a big game. It really was, for all the reasons that Pete Rose talked about. Look, I see both sides of this. We all do. You know, did Pete Rose take the game too seriously? Well, I don't think he tried to hurt him. I think that was just the way Pete Rose played. The real question to me is, should he have done it in an All-Star game? And I'm telling you, the All-Star game was competitive as hell back then. It really was. And you know how the National League absolutely thought they were the better league and absolutely went out every year trying to prove it. It's hard to imagine now because our All-Star games are just exhibitions, but it was much different back then.
And you know what? I met the great Ray Fosse, just a class act. And I'll say this. If it were me and I had dinner with Pete Rose, like Pete Rose told us they had the night before, and then you're right, Stein, it was a different era. It was like not a gang mentality, but it was National League, American League, who's better? And when I watched that play and when I first saw it, I saw a guy that had the moniker Charlie Hustle. His sole purpose, goal, was to get home by any means necessary. So I never thought, and I'm not Ray again, I never thought it was a dirty play, but hearing Pete Rose, his recollection of it, you could tell what was going through a young Pete Rose's mind during that play. And again, it was to score. And it's unfortunate that, you know, Ray took it that way. And it's easy for me to say, but, you know, that's the beautiful thing about sports is we share what we think we saw. And when I look at that play, Steiny and Bonte, I don't find it dirty at all. Aggressive, yes, but when a guy, again, has the nickname Charlie Hustle, he's going all out all the time.
Well, I think the most underrated part of that game was the fact that it was played at Pete Rose's hometown of Cincinnati. It's the first night game in Major League Baseball All-Star history. Riverfront Stadium had just opened up. It was like 2 weeks old before that. It was 2 weeks old when that All-Star game was played. So I wonder just how much that had to do with Pete Rose saying, you know what, I'm not losing this game no matter what. I don't care if it's an All-Star game. I don't care if we do play hard and we're supposed to win. It's in Cincinnati. How can I not go hard in Cincinnati? This is my hometown. I got to protect my turf.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And, you know, I mean, Pete Rose, again, I want to be clear. Like, I'm not saying I take Pete Rose's side instead of Ray Fosse. Again, this is one of those things where two people can disagree on what they see. We have that happen a lot in football, instant replay. But Pete, that was the way Pete Rose played. And if Pete Rose were known as a loafer and did that, that's one thing. But that play was emblematic of his entire career. It was who right. Pete Rose was. And, you know, unfortunately for Ray Fosse, that's the way that went down. But I understand that the game, and I mean the All-Star game, was different. It was right. different.
It was different. It was very, very different. And I wish it had that same intensity in today's game. The intensity in today's game is just in all the All-Star games. You know, it's not only Major League Baseball, but the NBA seemed like, especially in the 80s, we saw during the early part of the pandemic, they were showing all these All-Star games, the NBA in the 80s. Magic, Bird, Isaiah, Moses Malone and Barkley and all Jordan. It seemed like they played harder than today's game. The Pro Bowl was something in the early 90s where I thought, okay, they're not hitting as hard as they can in a game, in a regular season or playoff game, but they're playing hard. It's just night and day on how these All-Star games are and all across the platforms, whether it's hockey, baseball, and football, as opposed to what it was back then. Like, they wanted to win. They wanted to have bragging rights.
Yeah, and Steiny, it's just that, I remember Dave Parker's throwing the All-Star game. I when you just spoke, I just felt like I was on the couch watching that game with you in live action. And Bonte, you're right. Our society has gotten soft. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I do miss hard fouls in basketball. Then again, I'm educated on why they don't want that in their sport. But Pete Rose was a gamer. And again, I keep going to this and I won't let it go. Charlie Hustle. And I'm going to share with you something that I haven't. There was an All-Star game, Torrey Hunter rob Barry Bonds of a home run. It was in Milwaukee, and Bonds was going out to center field, and he picked up Torrey Hunter, you got me. And, I never shared this with anybody, but I just wanted to throw up, like, oh, my God. Just put the softball out. This is not an – I know it's an All-Star game, but my point is that would have never happened during the Pete Rose – Roberto Clemente era. Things were different. And I'm going to just say this. I think guys went hard more because they didn't take a lot of things for granted. And guys now, they're brands, fellas. They're not, if they're going to get hurt, it ain't going to be the All-Star game, Bonte or Steiny. They got things to do and preserve. It's more, I got to preserve my brand rather than just let it all hang like Pete Rose used to do, because that's what he represents to me.
Can I? I got a hashtag random.
I'm ready.
Hashtag random.
Okay. So we're talking about Rick Barry. All right.
Right.
And some people may think what I'm about to say is pandering, but I'll tell you what, it is something that I've thought not my entire life, but it's something I thought about a lot. When we talk about great athletes who have kids who end up being great athletes. All right, Scooter Barry. All right, Brent Barry. Who are they? They're Rick Barry's son. Who's right. Steph Curry? Del Curry. How about Klay Thompson? Michael Thompson. It's always bothered me that the mom gets no credit at all. So, believe it or not, I thought I remembered Rick Barry's wife. Well, first of all, Sonia Curry was a hell of an
volleyball
athlete.
Player.
Yeah,
volleyball
that's what
player,
I hear.
Right? So I texted Scooter Barry, okay? And I said, I got a weird question for you, but I was wondering if you could tell me if your mom was athletic. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you the extended reply. And this is what he said about his mom. This is Scooter Barry. My mom, Pam, is a great athlete and comes from an athletic family. Her father, Bruce Hale, played and coached professionally. Her younger brother, Alan, played at Santa Clara and overseas. She was a performing synchronized swimmer for the Traveling World's Fair. She danced in a chorus line on Broadway and taught us kids, five of us, how to ski, golf, play tennis, run, etc. Wow. On an all-around mom that should get some credit for producing four professional basketball sons.
Yeah,
always,
need,
like,
yeah.
That's always been
I love it.
There's been always something left out of that. You know, that's all. There it is. I'm done.
You know
I'm done with my hashtag.
Chop it up for women.
Yeah, I love that, Rhett, because I love that because you think about Julie Thompson, and I just looked this up here because I thought she had ran track, but she was a former college volleyball player for the University of San Francisco. Julie Thompson, the mother of Clay Thompson and Michael Thompson, of course, and Trace Thompson. So you're right, Steiny. The moms don't get enough love when we talk about family DNA and these players becoming pro athletes.
And I'll watch my kids' games, and my wife right behind me right now, I'll tell her, like, couldn't you bring something to the table even when they're performing well? I'm like, that's all me. Now, had you been able to just bring something, and then she'll go through her list of her dad was a boxer in the Navy or some uncle. I'm like, I haven't met him, but that's interesting, Stoddy. The mothers get no love. And it takes two, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So there you go.
So was Mama Steinmetz? Yeah. What did Mama Steinmetz do, Matt?
Mary.
What was Mama Steinmetz? What was she good at? What did she play?
She was good in tennis. She wasn't a great athlete, but she was active. She was a very active mom.
Active. I love it.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, you got to remember, women who are my mom's age didn't quite have the opportunity that women do now in terms of sports. But, yeah, mom was cool.
You know, Pete Rose was talking about the 60-game season, and he was saying how the pitchers are probably going to have the advantage for the first couple weeks of the season, which would be, what, about 12 to 14 games. So does that benefit the Giants and A's when you look at let's just start with the Giants. And we were talking about their lineup yesterday, and we talked a lot about Gabe Kapler. And I get it. They have Johnny Cueto, Justin Marger in the contract year, Kevin Gausman in the contract year, Smiley in the contract year. Can the Giants get off to a hot start if that is the case, if pitchers do have the advantage over some of these hitters across the game?
You would think, right? I mean, Steiny, you would think if you're facing Kershaw, you know, next week, you may not get the best version of Kershaw, and you may not have to go nine innings at Kershaw or six innings because he may not be able. And that's why I say to the lesser teams, the less talented teams, you would think it's just big guru math that you got a better chance of competing, especially from a physical standpoint, that these guys haven't been able to, you know, get in tip-top shape. So I'm kind of watching these games early on, Steiny, like, damn, Giants – this is a better chance than any for you to stay around and compete. Let's see what you got.
I tell you what, talking to Pete Rose, he makes you think about stuff you never think about. And when he said what's going to be the most important thing, I don't know. And he comes out with middle relievers,
right?
And then he draws the and then he kind of makes the parallel that it's going to be interesting because. Let's face it, he said, middle relievers aren't they're not starters and they're not relievers because they can't be either one. So just the thought of that is interesting that if he thinks middle relievers are going to be the most important thing, especially early in training camp, well, then the most important thing is how good one of the least, you know, how good is the bottom of your entire pitching staff, essentially.
Right. And you know what? To that point, baseball has kind of made the middle reliever pretty important when you think about it. You just take the Giants' three World Series runs. We can't talk about those World Series runs without talking about the core four. Jeremy Yatfield, Javier Lopez, Sergio Romo, and Santiago Casilla. All those guys weren't really good enough to close, but they weren't good enough to Steve, if you get what I'm saying. You think about the opener that we're seeing in baseball with the Tampa Bay Rays opening the game with the middle reliever. As much as we say the middle relievers are what Pete Rose said, it feels like maybe the middle reliever may be one of the more important players or positions on your baseball team in today's current climate.
Yeah, and go ahead, Steiny.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think what Pete Rose was saying. Middle relievers, yeah, I don't think anybody would doubt whether middle relievers are more important right now. I think what right. Pete was saying was they're ultra important the first 20 games of the year because the pitchers are going to go shorter.
Right.
Because it's the beginning of the year.
He thinks.
And in years,
yeah.
Yeah, and in years past, you had 162 games. But here, you know, maybe if your middle relievers can't get it done the first 15 or 20 games, that may do it for you.
Bonte, you talk about random, Steiny. Bonte, I'm thinking about now Bruce Bochy and how he would use a bullpen like a violin. I mean, this dude was magical at it. I just wonder now with this new rule to where you got to face three batters, if I could go back in time and see how that would affect all the times that, you know, 10, 12, and 14 when things have gone different, because now you got to leave a guy that maybe you don't have confidence out there more so than you ever, you know, before. Okay, I'll have Bonte face one batter, Steiny. Now it ain't going to be too much like that. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out, too. Like, if a dude ain't got it, he's got to face a couple more batters than their managers would like him to, you know? I think that stinks, that rule. I just hate it.
Oh, I love the rule. I love the rule. I mean, because back in the day,
there should never be a restriction.
Yeah, but I mean, like, when did it become par for the course to where these middle relievers were becoming specialists? Okay, this guy's only going to face a lefty. He's out of there. You know, like, growing up, it felt like relievers would pitch to both lefties or righties. And now there's just so much emphasis on it because the numbers dictate that, okay, this guy is better when he's pitching just to lefties and not righties. But I don't know about you guys. Maybe you guys can tell me this. In the late 70s and the 80s, it felt like relievers pitched to both sides of the plate.
That's how I grew up.
At time they did, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this was the beginning of it. I mean, you look at a guy like Mike Marshall for the Dodgers back in the day. He appeared in 106 games, I want to say, one year. Yeah, he faced everybody. And what I do remember is when the Yankees had Sparky Lyle, Cy Young winner, as a reliever. And they picked up Goose Gossage. And so that next year went to the righty-lefty a lot, except the game clinching 163rd game of the year when Gossage got Carl Yastrzemski out with Sparky Lyle in the bullpen, the lefty. That's gotten a lot more. Yeah, they didn't do it a lot back then,
right.
Nearly as much.
Have we decided what column we put this rule change in? It was implemented because not to make the game better, but to speed it up. Okay, that's why I hate it, Steiny. That's all.
Speaking of the speed of the game, I was wondering. I must be missing something, and I'm dead serious because this is what I don't get. And maybe a mathematician can tell me about this.
Well, I'm here.
They're putting a runner at second base, right?
Right.
Okay.
To what? God. Speed up the game?
Basically.
To take away the game.
In the 10th inning, they're going to put a runner at second base with no out. In the 10th inning. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. Correct.
I do not understand
wow, man.
How that has any correlation to a shorter game. I don't understand it. It's like, okay, well, there's a runner at second, so one hit gets him in. Well, there's a runner at second for the team coming up in the bottom of the 10th, to get a run in. What I'm asking is a game likelier to end sooner by doing that?
Yes.
Let me jump in, B. But technically, it's not a hit because all you need is two sack flies now. Two sacrifice flies, bothers me because you got to get to first. You got to get a hit or a walk, and you got to show composure to get to first.
But every team is going to have that ability. So that's great. They, you know, one guy bunted him to third, sacrifice fly. Woo, we got to run. Well, guess what? Next inning. The home team in the 10th is probably going to try to do the same thing.
Yeah.
I do not understand how that particular change will speed the game up.
Well,
not only that, I'm just thinking about the Giants having Billy Hamilton on their roster.
Oh, wow.
How lucky
That's
are they?
That's a great point.
Hit a grounder to the right side, boom, he's at third base.
You
hit
he got to get on first. Yeah, well,
right.
Put him on second.
Well, he doesn't have to get on first now. He's on second base.
That is
and Billy Hamilton barely's batting 200 these days. And no, I'm with it, man. I don't like the rule either. I just don't like it because I don't know how it's going to speed it up.
Steiny.
And the purity of baseball is there is no time limit. You don't know when these games are going to end. You know, that's the purity of the game. Man. Just because you're trying to save. What are we really doing here? Are we saving 2 minutes, 3 minutes? What is that going to do for you?
That's
get
what
you
to
your car quicker?
The 916 on the text line brings up another thing I didn't think of. So you're coming into the game in the top of the 10th. As a reliever, they're putting a runner at second. He scores. You got that? That's just a regular earned run against your for your stats.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, wow.
That's not right. I mean,
that is wow.
You know, the best reliever in baseball. His ERA may be 3.8 because he's inheriting a runner at second every single time he comes in at the beginning of an inning.
And Bonte,
when
you're watching a great pitching duel and you look around, you say to yourself, damn, it's been three innings since somebody's got on base. That adds to the intrigue of the game that it's hard to get a bag. The pitchers are doing their thing. And you want to just throw that out the window to sell your soul and put a runner to second? You gotta earn
What's the one thing that What bothers you the most about, like, to me, the one they're talking about that bothers me the most is outlawing the shift. Is there anyone that you dislike or like more than the other?
Yeah, I know Guru was ready to rip my head off over the shift because I kind of like the shift
that hurt
too.
Me. Yeah.
But, like, I think, Steiny, they're overdoing it. You got four outfielders sometimes now because of the shift. I mean, it just looks funky out there. But again, make a hitter make an adjustment. Why should these hitters still keep their same approach if you see a dramatic shift like that? Like if you're Joey Gallo with the Texas Rangers and you see four outfielders, why not hit the ball down the third baseline and get you a double and get run scoring position? What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that? I don't get it, man. I feel like baseball is overthinking this whole thing, from the owners to the front office to the analytics. I think everybody's overthinking it stuff. All to save what? Save you 5 to 10 minutes at night?
No doubt. And these rule changes are not bringing young people to the game. Oh, I hate to be kill the messenger, but these aren't things that people are going to say, oh, my God, they're implementing these rules. Let's go watch. Come on.
All right. Let's do this coming up later, man. Brought to you by Safeway. We'll talk about Joe Lacob because this is the 10-year anniversary when the Warriors were sold to Joe Lacob and Company.
Wow.
We'll get to that a little bit later. Well, I saw Steiny last night tweeting about the Warriors, so there's something about the GMs here in the Bay Area. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Yeah, we'll tease that a little bit later. But I want to stick with this baseball talking. What's the rule? What's the one rule in Major League Baseball this year that really bothers you? What's number one? What's the number one rule that really bothers you coming into the season? Is it the shift? Is it the 3-batter minimum for relievers? Is it the runner on second base to start this 10th inning? We want to hear from you out there, 888-957-9570, as we are 8 days away from opening day of Major League Baseball. Next Monday, the A's and Giants tangle in an exhibition at the Oakland Coliseum at 6:40 p.m. A game you can catch on NBC Sports Bay Area. And that's all sponsored by Safeway. Come into Safeway today for the mix and match sale. Buy two, get three free on select items like General Mills cereal, Chex Mix, Natural Valley Bars, Goldfish Crackers, Snyder's Pretzels, Oreos, and Pillsbury Cinnamon Rolls. See tags in the store for participating items. Safeway mix and match sale. Come in and explore.
Now back to Bonte, Steiny, and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Don't forget, at 3:30, Damon Radulkowski will unveil number 5 on the fans list when it comes to the top 10 athletes ever, the greatest top 10 athletes ever in Bay Area sports history. That's coming up at 3:30 this morning. At 8:30, Joe Lo and Dibs announced that number 6 was Willie Mays, to Say Hey Kid. Willie Mays at number 6, Rick Barry at number 7. A lot of fun here on the top 10 list. Can't wait to see what the top five will bring us here. We got some calls here coming up in just a second. 888-957-9570. What is bothering you about the game with the new rule changes? And I think Guru will stick with the shift. I'm guessing Guru, because he's big on not having a shift. Steiny, what's your biggest rule? What's the one that bothers you? Is it the runner on second base to start the 10th inning?
It's the shift. There's something about catering to non-all-around players that I don't like. And I think that's what you're really doing. If you're an all-around baseball player, you can't play a shift against that guy. You can't even think about it. So I just think you're catering to a part of the game that you want to emphasize. And what is that? To me, it's the home run. I mean, it just is, because if you put the shift on, if baseball's right, if you put the shift on and guys still aren't hitting that way, like, who are you rewarding? Who are you rewarding? So that's the one that kind of bothers me, is the shift. And I mean, to me, it's very simple. If you don't want the shift, hit the ball where they ain't. Very, very simple.
Yeah, and I'll
think
just
anybody
say
would
this.
Ever try to put a shift on with Pete Rose. Wait,
right, but yeah,
no chance.
But Steiny and Vontae, how many times do you watch a Major League Baseball game? Because now I got two scoreboards in my head, two scorebooks too. When you know that normally, right up the middle, but the second baseman or shortstop is behind second base. It's like, damn, in the real world, maybe that's what's killing baseball, is you're being too smart for your own good. You want more action, and guys are – I mean, dude, I see the second baseman in right field, and you know 10, 12 years ago that would be a base hit. So it's not that they're not hitting the ball, Steiny. If you played straight up, maybe you would create that action that we're not getting, right. And it wouldn't just be – the sport wouldn't just be so dependent on the home run, because that's the only place you can't put a defender. And that's all, because I'm watching games now like, there's nothing more demoralizing to me is when you whack the ball, you know, that's half the battle, and it's like, damn, 10 years ago, well, Steiny Abonte, that would be a hit.
But
and I'm getting past it, but it's just thought, like, you know?
No, but hold on, and you know what? You've got me thinking now, Goo, and I'm dead serious. When you're watching a baseball game from that center field camera, okay, and a guy hits the ball up the middle, yes, you're like, base hit. But sometimes there will, you know, if the shortstop's playing not quite in the hole, he makes a, you know, the shortstop or second base can make a play up the middle and take that away. Like, I do like that. You know, that it happens. It doesn't happen all the time. Ball up the middle, base hit. And I don't, maybe I'm arguing your point here. But the idea, okay, let's say there's a lefty up and you're watching from the center field camera and he hits a hard ground ball to the right side. You do not know at the point of impact whether it's a ground ball to the second baseman or it's in the hole between first and second for a base hit. So again, I don't even know what I'm saying. Because then the second camera angle comes in.
Right.
But I guess what I'm saying is I do like the uncertainty of a ball up the middle and whether it's going to get into center field or not.
You know, you're right.
I don't like ball up the middle, guy standing behind second base. But then just flare at the left.
Go ahead.
It's something that we have a problem with in society. And it's the P word. It's patience. Patience these days, whether it comes from sports fans or in your everyday life, nobody has any patience. And the thing with the shift is, what if a team was just patient? It just took what the defense gave them. And then you got the bases juiced. And you're stressing the pitcher with the bases loaded by just, hey, you want to shift against me? I'll slap the ball down the third baseline. Boom, I'll take first base. Next batter comes up, you want to shift against me? Here, I'll hit it down the other line where there's a big hole. Now we got runners on first and second. If you just have some patience, You could run these teams ragged with this shift and maybe get them out of their shift. I don't know. I just think patience in a game of baseball, we have none anymore because all they want to do is hit the home run. They want the three-run jack. They want the grand slam. They want the two-run bomb. We don't have patience in this as a society, and it gets to shift. If you were just patient, maybe you could get a team to maybe not shift anymore by putting runners on base all day long.
Exactly.
And I'll say this to you, too. How much fun do you think that would be, though, Steiny and Bonte? If you're a Pete Rose or Roberto Clemente and you got all the power and you want to drive that damn ball through the hole or what, just whack it, knowing that, okay, I got to take all that off the table, there's no third baseman, and I got to hit the ball down the third base line. It sounds easy, but to me, I'm just wondering from a player standpoint, you've taken the fun out of the game. Well, from a standpoint of now it's all me just hitting it down the third base line and you're not being all you can be. You know?
Do you want to win?
What I think is, okay, you're growing up playing baseball, let's say, and you're a left-handed pull hitter, and now they're going to move the second baseman over and the shortstop over. I mean, it's baseball. Make the adjustment.
Right.
It is baseball. And Kyle, go ahead. Was it Kyle or Spadoni? I thought they brought up a great point.
Diamond, like, you're doing a great job.
No, I don't want to take credit for this one. I want to give credit properly. Just the fact, like, I agree. What they're trying to do is say the basketball equivalent would be, hey, guys, who's guarding Ben Simmons tonight? I am. Well, guess what? You can't sag off him.
Yeah.
You can't.
Right.
Well,
Kyle's brilliant.
Kyle brings up the point that it's just that that's the one I don't like, guys.
Right. I think I'm gonna hate the runner on second base to start the 10th inning.
Everybody said,
oh, the kids need to go to sleep and the games are on too late. The hell with the kids. You know what? They'll stay up. The parents will let them stay up to watch these games. Heck, when you look at these 16-inning games, half of them are kids anyway still at the ballpark going crazy because they want to stay up late and see the end of the game. I don't know, man. That rule coming up here when a runner on second base to start the 10th inning, that's still what is kind of driving me crazy here. Let's go out to the phone lines. 888-957-9570. Let's start off with Matthew in Santa Rosa. Matthew, good morning, good afternoon. What's the MLB rule change that's really bothering you going into the 2020 season?
Hey, so it's Santa Clara, but yeah, I got a couple bullet points for you guys. How you guys doing? Hey, first of all, I appreciate you guys to keep me going. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
Tough time, so thank you. So I'm not a fan of, first of all, the guy on second. I mean, like you just said, Bonte, it's like, dude, the kids are going to stay up. You know what I mean? I'm 46, right? And so, like, 18 innings is nothing. You know what I'm saying? So I also want to talk about the old school, like, All-Star game and Pro Bowl. Back in the day, Ronnie used to, like, light people up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like I just put $1,000 on the over because they don't even tackle anybody anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And, like, Barry lifting that guy up and saying, I don't agree with that. Steiny, so Willie Mays, so the list, right? So what was how did you guys come up with the list thing? Because Willie should be number one.
Well, I'll tell you how. I'll tell you. And the question was greatest Bay Area athletes. And it was interpreted different ways by different people, and the list you're hearing right now is a list we compiled from all the listeners who put in a list. So, you know, a guy like Steph Curry, who's played his whole career now in Golden State, brought him 3 titles on a lot of these lists, was like ahead of Willie Mays, and Willie probably paid a little bit of a price. I know he did for me because he started his career in New York. In my grand scheme of things, I held that against him a little bit, if you know what I mean, because he did some damage outside the Bay.
DiMaggio, I mean, he's born and raised here.
Right, but it was a pro athlete who played their career in the Bay.
Yeah. All right, I got a couple. Hey, so, Guru,
You got a list of grievances. I
come
love
on.
It.
Come on, Matthew.
What's up? Hey, Guru, I love you, dude. Congratulations, man, for like just your money, dude. Hey, so you know what I would do? Hey, Bonte as well. Like, if they put the shift on, why don't you just slap down a bunt?
Just keep bunting on them.
Later, bye, right? I mean, what happened to old school baseball? Guru, you know this. You played ball. You played baseball. So, like, why? I would love the shift if I was a good enough player. And, like, just why don't you slap down a bunt every time?
Thanks for the phone call, Matthew. What do you think about that, Goo?
Who's going to have to turn his mic on?
Yeah, I think his mic is off.
Damn, Steiner, we got
him. Come on now.
You've been in the business. Give me that line. Come on, you've been doing it. Anyway, I'm going to use me as an example. Just real quick, my softball games. I was a home run hitter. And then we would go to tournaments and the ump would come up and they would already know what was going on. And they would say, you know what? A home run is an out. And to me, I would jump in my truck, see you later, I'm done, because I'm mentally fried if you're telling me I can't swing for the fences. And you guys are right. But the batters don't go up here and work their ass off to bunt. You know what I mean? In a perfect world, you guys are right. Hit the ball down third base. But it's harder than that, and that's not what they're signing up to do, Bonte. So I kind of feel where they are, like, I guess we could do that, but that's not what we signed up for. Let's take the analytics, the computer out, you can use a shift
for
a certain amount of time. But you ask Steiny on the G-Chat, how much are they using the shifts? It's become standard, Steiny. It's become, nobody's even going straight up anymore, and it's more difficult to get a hit.
Okay. No,
less
it's not.
Action.
Not. It's easier to get a hit if you are a good hitter. It's infinitely not infinitely. It's much easier. And this is where, like, this is. I agree with Bonte about patience. Let it play out. If teams are gonna use the shift. Okay. Well, then it's gonna come down through the college ranks and the high school ranks. And you know what? Over the course of time, hitters are going to have to deal with it. They just are going to have to deal with it. And and you know what? There'll be players that
real,
come. There'll be players that, like, here's the thing. A Pete Rose will come along, and they'll be like, we can't put the shift on against him. We can't put the shift on against him. All right? So then here comes here comes Willie Stargell. Well, okay, we're going to load up the left side of the infield. Okay, well, I mean, Willie, I'm sorry. Like, why should it be outlawed to put nine? It's like you have nine players. That's how many players on a team. It's like saying you can't, I don't know, you can put them anywhere. Why can't you just put them anywhere you want?
PlayStation to station baseball. It's nothing wrong with that. Hey, let's go out to Armando in the city, man. He wants to talk about MLB rule changes. Armando, good afternoon. You're on 95.7 The Game. What's the one rule in 2020, the one rule change that is really bothering you?
How about all of them?
wow. Tell us how you really feel.
I hate the 10th inning one. I mean, let this pitcher pitch. Let baseball be baseball. The DH rule in the National League sucks. I mean, I've been around 30 plus years of, watching baseball, and I'm a National League guy. So I want to see sacrifices, but I want to see pitchers hit. Hey, I'm not a Giant fan, but I watched Matt Bum hit when he was hitting over here, you know, and I'm okay with the relief pitchers pitching three hitters. It's about time they do that. That way we don't get 6-hour games or 5-hour games. But, you know, Manfred has to go, man. I mean, he's trying to introduce all these rules and everything, but, I mean, let these guys hit, you know.
Yep.
The shifting also, I mean, Tony Greenwood took care of that. Rossi will go the other way. Hey, when I was playing baseball, they showed me how to hit the other way, and I wasn't even that great. So these guys, I mean, they'll adjust. I mean, but if I had to pick, I mean, all of them, man, just all of them.
And you know what, Bonte and Goo, to me, I want to say, let's be honest. You know, I use Stargell as an example. I mean, let me tell you, when Willie Stargell came up, The shortstop moved closer to second. The second baseman moved closer to first. Right. And the third baseman gave up the left field line. So, you know, it's just a more exaggerated version of that. I got to tell you, Guru, something has just occurred to Guru that I've never, the only time I've ever heard something like it was done by to Michael Jordan. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
So I got a buddy, Dan Daly, huge fan. I told you guys this story already back in the day.
Not Dibley, Daly.
No, it's Dan Daly. Yeah, okay. This is right. Different kind of Dan. It's tiring. Anyway, yes! He's at an airport one time, and he's just sitting there, and it was back when pro teams traveled commercial. And lo and behold, here come the Bulls going from one gate to the other, and my boy Daly sees Michael Jordan. And he goes up to Michael Jordan. He goes, hey, Michael. And he sticks out his hand to shake it, and he goes, congratulations. And that's all he could say because congratulations for being Michael Jordan. And that caller just gave you one of those where he goes, Guru, congratulations, man.
Yeah, Matthew in Santa Clara. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I didn't know what, man. I thought he was coming with some slander. I was ready for it.
Not at all. Comparing you to Jordan.
I'm just living the life.
Yeah, comparing you to Jordan.
Let's go out to Joseph in Vallejo. Joseph, you're on 95.7 again. What's the one rule change in Major League Baseball that's really getting under your skin?
It's the rule of the history of the Major League Baseball. They can make up their rules as they go along. Back in 2008, when the Tea Party had a slogan, Take America Back Again, the number one thing in this country is to touch of racism. Let's take back baseball. That belongs to us. It don't belong. We never wanted some of these African-Americans in our leagues anyway. So what we got to do? Let's get rid of that Barry Bonds, and then it'll go down here from there. With the exception of the Giants giving us some thrills, the feel-good story in Chicago with the Cubs and some of the Red Sox, baseball been on downward slide all along. They knew steroids was in the game, always knew steroids in the game. They say, I can juice a baseball, but I can't juice a player. They let all that happen. Baseball is the big hypocrite. Viagra. Giants had the big Viagra sign behind the base because they the one that first endorsed Viagra. When the private guys are taking steroids, had a few problems, say, hey, Doc, I got a little problem down here. No problem. We got this new stuff. Rafael Palomero, one of the first to endorse Viagra.
Thanks for the phone call, Joseph. Thanks for the show. I don't know where that one was going, but let's try to recover here with Mark.
I've never heard, Vontae.
What's
that?
You
used the ball, but not the player. Whoa. Man.
Yeah. Let's go to Mark in P-Town.
Yeah, they did it.
Mark in P-Town. Mark in P-Town. Good afternoon, man. What's the one rule change that's really bothered you these days?
I think it's the runner on second base after extra innings.
Yeah.
We played so many games throughout the whole series of baseball that they've gone extra innings for 19 innings, 20 innings, you know, and what do you say to all the old timers that played those games back then and doing this thing right now? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying. You're saying they're playing a different game now.
Yeah. Yeah, like why even do that? Just keep it the same way it was and let these guys go 20 innings or whatever it takes, use up all their pitching staff and whatever, because that's what happens when you go to extra inning games.
No, that's a good point. That's the one that's bothered me, Steiny. I like the three-batter minimum because it kind of irks me when I see these middle relievers getting paid, you know, multi-million dollars, millions and millions of dollars in. They're facing one batter a game. Like, I get it. And Javier Lopez, I know he's a friend of the program, and he, you know, would come in as a lefty specialist. But I'm like, let him pitch to a righty. He's a pitcher. Get a lefty out. Challenge yourself getting a righty out. I guess that's just the way the game is going. But that runner on second base to start extra innings, that's the one that's really, really irking me, man. You're just basically giving away a free run if you execute correctly.
Yeah, hey, you know what? And I want to make sure to give credit to the person on the text line, because I got to believe this is actually right. He says that the runner placed on second The 650 says the runner placed on second, it goes down. He gets there by what's going to be called a team error. So the run will be unearned if you follow that.
Okay.
So
Yeah.
Which is good. It doesn't go against the pitcher's ERA.
Hey, that's the least of our worries. Yeah.
Do you guys think if I said one thing, that what if they just expanded the strike zone a little bit? Wouldn't that solve a lot of problems?
I don't know. I have to think about that one.
Hypotheticals.
I'd have to think about that one. I don't know about that one, Stiney. Because the strike zone is already inconsistent, right? We got people out there crying about robot ups and do away with umpires and get us robot ups to get the accuracy. I don't know if extending. I'd have to think about that one, Stiney.
Okay.
Just and I suggestion. Like the human element of the umps. It's like the NBA umps, you know. Vontae may think it's a foul or a charge, and I may not, and you may have a different viewpoint. They're all shapes and sizes, so it is supposed to fluctuate. You know, I think of Altuve, and then I think of Stanton. Right. They don't got the same strike zone, Vontae and Stiney. So I like knowing that, you know, who's behind the plate. We can trust that they're going to adjust and get the right calls. But some of the stuff we're seeing is just the missed calls are ridiculous.
What do you think, Stiney? Do you think the strike zone should be extended? And how would that help, say, hitters or pitchers or the game of baseball?
Well, I think the bottom line is guys are going up there, and this is going to be an overstatement, but they want to hit a home run or walk. Well, what if you made it a little harder to walk? You know what I'm saying? That's all. What if you made it a little harder to walk? And you all you have to do, it's not like everything would change. I mean, there is a definition of a strike zone. It's got something to do with the letters and the knee. I mean, whatever. You make it the armpit or something. Every pitch that Tom Glavine threw 2 inches from the plate, every pitcher gets that pitch. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's one thing that I would think about if I were baseball. That's all.
Interesting stuff. 888-957-9570. Having a lot of fun talking about the Major League Baseball 2020 season and the rule changes. We want to hear from the listeners. What is the one rule change going into the 2020 season that is just really irking the heck out of you? We want to hear from you, whether it's starting a runner on second base in the 10th inning, whether it's the shift, whether it's the three-batter minimum. What is the one rule change that is really bothering you about the game of baseball? We want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Daryl DeGuru Johnson, Matt Stymus, Joe Spadoni, Kyle Madsen, back at the studio, Bonte Hill. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.